A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Valuable things have false counterparts, whether they're Rolex watches or diamond rings or pearl necklaces or cup final tickets. Because they're valuable, people find profit in making counterfeits of them that are false and no use. And of course, what is always falsified has value, at least in the eyes of some people. That's why counterfeiters, if they are counterfeiting currency, they don't bother making 2p coins. No, they focus on £20 and £50 notes. And the most precious thing in human existence is not the Rolex watch or the diamond ring or the pearl necklace or even the cup final ticket. It's actually Christian discipleship. And the reason why that is such a precious, precious thing is because its value transcends everything that this world can offer. Christian discipleship is the sign of possessing salvation, that is to say, eternal life. Welcome back to A Word for Today. It's Monday, the 13th of July, and we are going to be continuing with our studies in the book of Joshua. But first, we need to examine this matter of Christian discipleship, what is true and what is false. And for that reason, we're going to the second half of James chapter 2. This is a book that isn't that often preached because it's actually quite hard to understand, and you'll see why once I read you the second half of James chapter 2. James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith, by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works, and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works, when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body, apart from the spirit, is dead, so also faith, apart from works, is dead. You can see there that little reference to the book of Joshua, referring to Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute of Jericho. But I guess the sentence that really would have caught our attention is verse 24, where the writer says this, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Now, that is a shocking statement to find in the Bible. That's why I think Martin Luther called the epistle of James a strawy epistle, because it seemed to be counteracting the whole message of the gospel, which is salvation is by faith alone. And here he is saying it's not by faith alone. Well, it's very hard to reconcile these things, but we need to remember that the Bible has one author, God the Holy Spirit. And if we see what seems to be an inconsistency, the problem is not in the Bible. That's what liberal scholars think. No, the problem is in us. We haven't understood properly what it's saying. And when we look at the wider context of that verse 24, you see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, we see that the writer is not contradicting salvation by faith. He is rather looking at the issue of faith. He's not asking the question, are we saved by faith or works? His answer to that question would certainly be, we are saved by faith and faith alone. No, he's asking the question, what is saving faith? That's how he introduces verse 14. And his thesis is that faith that is separated from works is not saving. That's the point. So imagine the situation that he described in verse 15 of a brother or sister being poorly clothed and lacking in daily food. Imagine 10 years have passed and you're driving down the street and you see me clothed in rags and selling matches. And you stop your Rolls Royce and you wind down the window and you say, Charles, what's happened to you? And I say, well, I got ill and then my whole life went wrong and here I am. I've got nothing. I'm sleeping on the street and I've got no money. And you then said to me what the person is recorded as saying in verse 16. Go in peace, be warmed and filled. And then you wound up the window of your Rolls Royce and drove on. Well, that wouldn't be much use to me, would it? You would be showing me warm words, but there would be no practical help in that. And so what the writer then follows that by saying is that faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, he's saying there is a real faith and a false faith. There is a saving faith and there is a faith that does not save. And he's in effect saying that a faith that is merely intellectual understanding and not a commitment of the life is not saving faith. It will not save. So he takes the example, the person who says, well, I believe in God. He says in verse 19, you believe that God is one, you do well. He's being sarcastic, by the way. He then goes on to say, even the demons believe and shudder. He's saying, you believe in God? Well done. Here's a big pat on the back. Satan believes in God too. Does that make him a Christian? Satan's not an atheist. You see, an intellectual academic belief on its own is not in and of itself saving faith. And then he gives two examples, and they are examples from each end of the spectrum. He starts with Abraham, who is the father, by the way, of us all, if you are Christian believers. We mustn't just leave Abraham to the Jewish faith. He is the father, actually, of Christian believers. And he takes the example of Abraham, and then to the opposite end of the spectrum, Rahab, the Canaanite prostitute. You could hardly think of two more different people. So, what does he say about Abraham? Well, he says, Abraham was definitely saved by faith. But he says, that faith was proved real when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar. And that was something that happened subsequent to the statement that we have of Abraham's faith. And then he takes the same example of Rahab the prostitute. She gives great expressions of faith to those two Israelite spies, as we've seen quite recently in our studies in Joshua. But she showed it practically by risking her life, by risking everything, by hiding those spies in her house, or rather on the roof of her house, and sending out the messengers who came to capture those spies by another way. She put her money where her mouth was. And so what he's saying in verse 24, a person is justified by works and not by faith, he's just addressing the nature of the faith that saves. Saving faith is a faith that works. That's why it saves, because it works. And in verse 26, he sums it up. Faith apart from works is dead. In other words, it's not true faith. It won't save. And so the point that I want to make in this first podcast of this next session of Joshua, what we're going to be looking at, is that Christian discipleship has to be genuine. It has to be true. It has to be real faith. It has to be saving faith. And we're going to be looking in the days ahead at the difference between real discipleship and false discipleship. And if there was a title for the theme of this next section of Joshua, it would be real discipleship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, We pray that you would teach us about real discipleship, and not only that, but you would equip us to be real disciples. Please bless these studies that lie ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.